Welcome to Cherished Women with Kimberly Walton, with a look into issues facing today's Christian women. Let's be honest, with all the things coming at us, it's easy to become inundated with life's messiness. As a wife, mother, founder of Cherished Wives International, and a marriage mentor, Kimberly fully understands how difficult it can be for a woman to balance work, life, home, and love. Today, she'll help you navigate life's challenges so you may thrive in life, love, and marriage. Now, here's Kimberly Walton with a topic on being cherished.
Greetings! So happy to have you here with me today. My friend, let's talk about hearing and trusting God's nudges in our lives. Yes, hearing and trusting God's nudges in our lives. Now, I gotta say, my greatest achievements and successes in life, they have come from taking action on things that I felt called to do by God. Things that honestly made no sense at first, or things that felt scary. I mean, seriously, sometimes really, really scary. And scary, but at the same time, I did the thing anyways. Yep, I did it anyway. Because I felt the nudge to go down a path and to have faith. And not just any nudge. No, not any nudge, but a nudge that came from God. Now, I want to be honest, though, and I want to share that trusting God's plan, it's really not easy, and it hasn't been easy for me. I know for some people it is, and maybe for you it's been easy, but I bet you for a lot of people, it's true for them that it's not easy. It's just not that easy. But when I'm honest, I can say that when I do trust God's plan and things go better than I planned, it's usually because I trusted God's plan. Now, when I'm trusting God's plan, you know what happens? Doors that I never dreamed would open swing wide open. Opportunities that I didn't even know existed came about from just seemingly nowhere. It's like the proverbial Red Sea is parted when God says, it's time. But I think that we can agree that not every opportunity that presents itself, no matter how great it seems on the surface, is from God. Again, not every opportunity, no matter how great it seems, is from God. But yet, on the other hand, sometimes the scary-looking or really uncertain opportunities that come about, those are exactly the opportunities that have come from God. So, my friend, I have a question for you. Is God holding a door open for you and you're afraid to walk through it? Is there an opportunity that seemingly came from nowhere or seems just too good to be true that you think this might actually be from God? You know, how do we know when this is the case? How do we know when this nudge that we have is truly from God? How can you tell between a desire that God has put on your heart or an urge from your ego or a distraction from the enemy? I admit, it's just not always easy. And what I do is I have several questions that I ask myself that help me determine, is this opportunity truly from God or not? So I want to share my questions with you. The first question I ask is, does this opportunity contradict His word? If you believe you're being called to do something, ask if it agrees with Scripture and biblical principles. If it's counter to God or Scripture, then you know what? It's not from God. There's no question about it. It's likely your ego, the enemy, or pressure from society. God's nudges, they don't ask us to turn away from our faith. They don't ask us to deny our morals. They don't ask us to bend Scripture to suit our needs. God will never direct you to take action on something that is contrary to His will. If the Bible clearly indicates that something is a sin or against God, then it's not from Him. If you feel called to do it, if it asks you to turn away from God, then it is not from God. Remember that in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says all Scripture is from God, and James 1:13 and 14 tells us that God does not tempt us. This is why reading the Bible and understanding the Word is so important to help us know and to understand when something is from God and when it's not. If your nudges require you to disregard or bend the Word, then your nudge is not from God, no matter how hard or badly you want it to be. I once was talking to a woman that had exchanged rings with a man and had made vows in front of God. The problem here was this man was already married to another woman. And she argued with me and said, no, this is from God. This is meant to be. And I said, but he's already made a vow. Bending the scripture to meet your desires doesn't make it from God. Matthew 7, 15 and 16 tell us to watch out for false prophets because they come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, we will recognize them. To know if it's from God, we must test the fruit. Matthew 7, 17 then says, we learn that every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. If it is from God, it will draw you closer to God and help you increase your self-awareness. Instead, false prophets, they take us away from God. They distract us. They tempt us. They tempt us from our faith and from God's will. False prophets will appeal to your ego, not to your humility. So the question is the origin of this nudge that you have, this calling, is it a false prophet, perhaps your ego or society, or is it indeed from God? The question that we must ask when we're trying to determine if a nudge is from God is it from God? What is the source? Third, I have to ask, does it stretch you and require you to depend on Him? God wants a relationship with us, and it's very likely that His path for us will require us to deepen our dependence on Him. He asks us to grow in faith and to grow closer to Him. So you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret here. Okay, actually, it's really not even a secret because it's sprinkled throughout the Bible everywhere in Ephesians and Romans and Corinthians 1 and 2 and Galatians. But God doesn't expect us to be perfect. And you know what else? He knows that we're not going to measure up and that we're going to make mistakes. Otherwise, He wouldn't have come to earth to die for us. He will, however, give us many, many, many loving opportunities, potentially in the form of some serious challenges, to grow closer to Him and to learn His will for us. When I look back at some of my toughest times, I find my greatest victories came when I trusted God and God's plan. Number four, is it part of God's overall plan? A message from God will be in alignment with His overall plan for us. Therefore, it's important for us to compare our desires and messages with God's overall plan. Does it feel like we're being redirected? Kind of like on a path when you take a wrong turn and the GPS recalculates you and tries to get you back on track. If you feel that, a lot of times that's God. Does it relate to a journey that a Bible character has taken or seem like maybe there's a parallel journey to a Bible character? It's funny because when I look at the different Bible characters and I try to follow them and I look at how they've trusted so much, things go well for me. And I can often relate to Joseph and his dream about his brothers. The dream was true, but it required that Joseph wait and learn and grow and get ready. It wasn't something that was going to happen right away. He had to go through several trials to be ready for that. So I ask, does your nudge from God, does it remind you of a truth in the Bible? Isaiah 58:11 reminds us of this, when it reads that the Lord will always lead you. The thing, though, is that He leads you in His time. God has His own timing. So sometimes the answer may be yes, but the truth of the matter of it is that even though it's yes, we may have to be patient. And that's one of the biggest takeaways for me when I come to the story of Joseph and his many colors and his brothers. And it just reminds me that there's a preparation time sometimes. So even if things are not working as you think, at the speed at which you think, it does not mean that your nudge is wrong. It may mean that we're just going at God's timing and not ours. Fifth, how does it make you feel? And how do you feel when you share this nudge with wise counsel? If you feel apprehensive, if you feel scared, if you're not sure about sharing this nudge with others, what does that mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not an opportunity from God, but it's something that you got to take a step back and really take a look at that. Now, if you're feeling that others are going to judge you or sway you, if they're going to have some negative input on this desire because they are going to tell you it's not in line with God's will, that's a different conversation. I would seriously sit down at that point in time and I would think about that and I would ask for more guidance and I would pray on that. So I always say, ask yourself, if I were to go after this opportunity, if I was to follow this nudge, if I was to pursue what I feel this calling is it going to allow me to keep my word and to honor my vows? Does this opportunity glorify God? Does it glorify His will? How does it make you feel if the idea was out in the open and others knew about it? So asking those questions can tell you a lot about if it's from God or not. Now, I ask these questions and I seek wise counsel if I'm uncertain, but I have to tell you, for me, when I seek wise counsel, one of the things that I do is I have to be really careful who I seek for wise counsel. I personally tend not to pick the authoritarian types when I seek wise counsel. That's what works for me, but it may not be true for you. Also, I avoid the types of people that I don't have some sort of supportive relationship with. Okay? So people have to be 100% in your corner. They have to be people that 100% know your truth, they know your beliefs, they know where you're going, they know your strengths. Okay? Wise counsel means different things to different people. So let me repeat that. Wise counsel means different things to different people. Now, the second part of this idea with wise counsel is that just because somebody is wise in one area, it does not mean that they are wise in all areas. You have to consider the source. If somebody is wise in one area, they may be very wise in that area, but not in another. So when you are thinking about these questions, one of the things I want you to do, just encourage you to do this, is take a moment and think about who your wise counsel is. If you had a whole council of people, who would you go to for questions and thoughts on relationship or child raising or money? Those are probably not all the same person. Who would you go to on situations with girlfriends or situations with self-care? Wise counsel will be different people at different times. Okay, number six. And this is actually my favorite one. Has it been confirmed? When it's God's desire for us, it comes with multiple nudges and likely several confirmations. In Judges 6, Gideon has to overcome his doubt in order to answer God's call. After all, I mean, he was human, we're human, and it's natural to doubt. So Gideon, and I love the story of Gideon because I can so relate to this and the idea of doubt at times. But Gideon, he didn't turn away from God. He didn't say, I'm not so sure about this. This is kind of crazy. What he does is he says, God, I need confirmation. Now, if you know Gideon at all, you know he didn't just ask for confirmation once. Gideon asked for confirmation three times. And God didn't go, hey, Gideon, dude, what's up? God says, okay. He understood that Gideon doubted his abilities, not doubted God's abilities, but Gideon doubted his own abilities. And because Gideon doubted his own abilities, he needed God to confirm, yes, I need you to do this. I believe in you. I've gifted you these things. So sometimes God, he does not make the fleece damp or dry as confirmation. But instead, he speaks to us in ways that he knows we will listen and we will hear. So let me just repeat that. God speaks to us in ways that he knows we will hear and we will listen. Sometimes what we're called to do so seems just so implausible that our faith is obviously weak. God's patient. He confirms his will for us. That confirmation will come in so many different ways. Confirmation may come in the form of a billboard, some sort of casual comment from a friend, an unexpected opportunity, or just a myriad of ways. In my case, God knows I will listen. So what he does is he sends me confirmation in the form of words. I will have somebody suddenly say something to me that I've been thinking about or praying about. I will see words written on a billboard. I will see words, and especially if somebody just happens to say something to me. That's how God knows I will listen and I will be aware. So how does that work for you? Do you see things? Do you hear things? How does God confirm for you? Because if God knows you're going to listen, then he will speak to you in that way. How does he send you confirmation? Perhaps an idea just flutters through your mind in your morning prayer. And then you see a related article while sitting at the dentist's office the next day. And then a friend just kind of randomly or coincidentally says, hey, you'd be great at this thing. The same thing that you just saw in the article. The same thing that you just felt in your morning prayer. I call that confirmation, and that's the kind of thing that we want to look for. If you're praying on some sort of opportunity, we look for that confirmation, okay? And I know I have friends who say confirmation always comes in threes, and maybe that's true, maybe it's not, and maybe it's true for some people because that's their belief, and God knows they'll pay attention if it's three. I don't know that we always have to have it in threes, but I do know for me, if I'm going to be honest, I've had to have things confirmed more than three times in order for me to get it. And if you're like me, you've probably have that happen too. So remember that by listening to God, Gideon, he was victorious despite his doubt. He asked for confirmation, and then proceeded. I wonder how things would have gone if Gideon was too afraid to act on his nudge, or felt like he wasn't allowed to ask for confirmation. Okay, so let me talk about my seventh question I ask myself. Now again, these questions are all about if we're trying to confirm if something is from God. Is it a nudge from God, or is it ego, or is it society, or is it the enemy? So my seventh question is, do I notice doors seemingly just starting to open, or are doors seeming closing? Okay, so let me repeat that. Do doors seem to be suddenly opening or suddenly closing? Remember that God draws us closer to him. That's part of what our purpose is. He will also open doors when we're on the path he intends for us. That's part of his way of bringing us closer to him. So think of these doors just like with question number six. These doors are just further confirmation. Now, sometimes people think a door is going to be something like a parting of the Red Sea. I don't think that doors opening or closing are as grand as the Red Sea. Typically, they're not for me. For you, they may be, okay? But what I find happening is that we tend to have, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of coincidences, a whole bunch of things that you're like, well, that's interesting. All of a sudden, this is happening, or all of a sudden, that's happening. The idea of the right contact you needed to make something happen, or the right person you meet to get a certain job that you were dreaming about. Maybe the exact amount of money that was needed for a course, like just the perfect amount. Or maybe someone had an extra ticket to an event that you wanted to go to because somebody else randomly had some other opportunity, and they're like, oh, sure, that works for me. Or maybe there's an opportunity for advancement somewhere. So these kind of things, these coincidences that come up, you have to stop and wonder and say, is that God? Is that God? Is that him speaking to us? Is that working through us? These coincidences may very well be God's way of getting us to take note. They may be God saying, this is the path I want you to go down. This may be God's confirmation that says, yes, indeed, you are on the right path. So sometimes, though, these doors aren't doors that are opening for us. Sometimes they're doors that are closing. And sometimes these doors seem to close permanently. There's all sorts of little graphics that go around on Facebook that are saying, oh, if a door closes, you know, keep forcing it and things like that. And I just don't agree with that. When a door closes at times like this, it's time for us to slow down and to take a look. Sometimes these are times that show us that we need to be patient. Maybe we shouldn't be giving up. Maybe these are these important times where we should be just be patient. Psalms 27:14 always reminds me of this. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. So if you feel like a door is closing, maybe it's not a door that's closing. Maybe it's a time for you to be patient. As Christians, it's our responsibility to question these things. I mean, after all, why waste time going down the wrong path when you know He's prepared a perfect path for you? So let me do a little quick recap, and then let's talk about something else here related. Number one, we have to ask, does it contradict His word? Two, what is the source? Three, does it stretch us and require us to depend on God? Four, is it part of God's overall plan? Five, how does it make us feel? And does it make us feel stronger and better? How do we feel if we share it with others? Has it been confirmed? Do doors seem to suddenly be opening or closing? When we're in doubt, we know this already. The number one thing we need to do when we're uncertain is to pray. And I don't mean just pray and ask, but I mean to be quiet and pray and to listen and to confront our fears and to be patient. And that little still voice that comes up, we need to really listen to that. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, of all of these, the hardest one for me is number three. The one that says, does it stretch us and require you to depend on Him? I just want to force my way and keep on going. And you know what? When I do that, it does not go well. When I try to force the door open and all these things, and I try to force God's hand, He wins. I don't. It ends up icky. So I want to encourage you as you ask these questions of yourself. I want you to encourage to really listen and remember that God's plan is bigger than ours. God dreams bigger for us than we do, and He has the ability to move mountains and to make things happen for us for our good. So let's talk about this just for a second. I would love to have your input on this. I would love to know which of these seven is easiest for you. Which of these seven is hardest for you? Which of these have you struggled with the most? Feel free to pop on over to our Facebook page at Cherished Wives and share your thoughts on the seven questions that we need to ask in order to know if it's from God or not. Or feel free to visit our website at cherishedwives.com and read related articles on how we know if something's from God or not, or related articles related to things that you're trying to manifest in your life. So, again, if you're looking for understanding if the nudge is from God or not, keep in mind that He will speak to us in different ways and speak to us in ways that we listen. And these seven questions will help us get to the bottom of it. And if you're making plans, have goals you're trying to create, you want some clarity in your life, I want to invite you to check out our vision board and prayer journaling classes. We use all seven of these questions in our classes when we talk about them. They're a really great way for ladies to get together and to be inspired, to clarify, motivate you and your goals. And if you can't make it to one of our classes, give me a call, email us, let us know, and we can create a group for your ladies, a group where you can be, it can be customized for what you need. We would love to work with you and talk with you. We would love to help you know if it's from God or if it's not. So as we go through and we find we're setting goals and plans, remember to ask the seven questions. Remember to know if one of them is harder for you than the other. Remember that all seven questions are just as important as, well, they're all important, I guess is what I'm saying. All seven questions are important to ask. No one is going to be the true answer that you need. So keep that in mind as you ask the seven questions. Does it contradict? What is the source? Does it stretch you? Is it part of God's plan? How does it make you feel? Has it been confirmed? And do doors open? Until next time, my friend, thank you for joining me, and I wish you a blessed day and a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to Cherished Women, where Kimberly Walton tackles issues facing today's Christian women. If you'd like to connect with Kimberly, or you're interested in in-love approach or mentoring, visit CherishedWives.com. You'll find insightful blogs and videos, inspirational classes, and an invite to sign up for a free monthly newsletter. While there, look for the link to the Cherished Wives Facebook page to join their community of sharing insights and wisdom for Cherished Women. If you have a topic on your heart that you'd like to suggest for a show, reach out and let them know at their Let's Connect page at CherishedWives.com. Until next time, remember the wisdom of Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. CherishedWives.com.